Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our time of prayer and delving into the scriptures, the Word of God. It's powerful. We are going to be transformed by this Word. It will strengthen us in our commitment to spread the kingdom of life, and it is also power for us to pray for one another. And that's why I always invite you to leave prayer intentions in the comments if you wish, together with any other comments or questions that you may have. Let's put ourselves in God's presence and let's delve into His Word. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings that You give us, including the blessing of this new day when we can serve You, when we can grow in holiness, when we can spread Your kingdom of life. Bless us now as we enter into Your Word. May we understand it more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. Through Christ our risen Lord. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and presbyters about this question. They were sent on their journey by the church and passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, telling of the conversion of the Gentiles, who brought great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, as well as by the apostles and the presbyters, and they reported what God had done with them. But some from the party of the Pharisees, who had become believers, stood up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the Mosaic law." The apostles and the presbyters met together to see about the matter. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The law of God in certain aspects is unchanging. In other aspects, it evolves. And brothers and sisters, this reading points out that truth. You understand the basic dispute here, that the gospel came first to the Jewish people who had been observing the law, including circumcision, and the many other ritual and dietary prescriptions that you see in the Old Testament. When you read through it, you see many, many rules and regulations. Now, once the gospel started coming to those who were not Jews, who had not been circumcised, who didn't know anything about the first covenant, that was the dispute. Do they need to be circumcised? Do they need to do the things that we, the followers of God, as the people of Israel, have done for centuries? Do these new converts to Christ also have to observe these rules and regulations? And that was the dispute that arose, some saying yes, some saying no. And ultimately, as we'll see over the next couple of days, the question was decided, no, they do not have to be circumcised. They do not have to obey the Mosaic law. And this was marked as the decision of the apostles and the Holy Spirit himself, who was guiding the church. But there are certain aspects that do not change, even when they, as you'll see in the next couple of days, unraveled this question. They said, well, they still have to avoid unlawful marriage, among some other things, meat sacrificed to idols and stuff like that. But they have to avoid unlawful marriage. And this starts to get to the point. Yes, there is an evolution. Yes, the new covenant replaces so many aspects that were in the old, because all of those things were prophetic pointers towards what would happen eventually. Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." And in fulfilling it, the need for certain prescriptions goes away. our liturgical calendar, the way we do our rituals, what we consider food a clean or unclean. You see that passage where Jesus renders all foods clean because he says it's not what goes into a person that makes them impure, it what comes out of them. So we see an evolution, we see a change. But here's where we don't see a change: in the fundamental moral law of God and in moral prescriptions that have to do with human nature itself. So, and I bring this up because sometimes the objections to what our society is trying to change, like basic laws about thou shalt not kill, every human life is sacred, and so many today want to deny that. They want to look at our views on the sanctity of life as some kind of old-fashioned views. You hear this, and sometimes the argument is, you know, old-fashioned going back to the 40s and 50s, but sometimes the argument is old-fashioned going back to the Old Testament. And you see variations of this argument. I'm sure you've been subject to it too. Oh, well, those views are outdated. Now, there was an episode of the series The West Wing, and the president had this very conservative reporter there at a gathering for the White House, and he started publicly criticizing her for her stances against, for example, homosexuality and abortion. And in this tirade that he did against her in front of others, he started quoting Old Testament laws about pure and impure food. He started talking about the Israelites not being allowed to touch a dead pig. And he said, well, what about a football if it's made out of pig skin? Are we supposed to not touch it? Ultimately, ridiculous arguments that have no appreciation, number one, of what the purpose of all those prescriptions and laws was and how the coming of Christ did evolve and change those things. Scripture itself modifies Scripture in certain areas. But also, that kind of critique that only doesn't only come across in that West Wing episode, it comes across in things that may be said to you and me about things like our stance on human sexuality and abortion, have no appreciation of the fact that right from the very first pages of Scripture, right from the very first pages of history, there are certain unchanging norms that are revealed to us that are unchanging precisely because they're based on the nature of God and the nature of human life. The sanctity of life is not something that you negotiate on as the centuries go along. The fact that God made them male and female and established the holiness of the family and the purposes of human sexuality for love and for life is not something that improves with time or that changes with the ages. And that's the point, that simple point I want to bring across to you. Understand and challenge those who try to say, oh, well, because you can touch pig skin now, somehow you can kill babies. Because you can eat certain foods that they weren't allowed to eat before, somehow you can have sex with a man and a man instead of having it to be a man and a woman. No, these are at two completely different levels of reality. Certain laws are put into place to accomplish a purpose for a certain specific span of time. And they do not go to the very roots of the question of what is human nature and what is the nature of God. Brothers and sisters, don't fall into that trap, but expect it to come, because this argument, this criticism of us still perdures. Certain things are outdated. Certain other things never change, because it's about who we are and how we were made. And our teachings about the sanctity of life, marriage, and family are certainly in that latter category. Let's defend them with vigor, knowing that the Word of God does not pass away and that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to give us discerning hearts. Lord God, we know, as we see in this reading, that certain requirements like circumcision have accomplish their purpose, and for those of us in Christ are no longer a requirement. But we also, Lord, ask you, give your people a discerning heart, that human life never becomes disposable, that human sexuality never becomes perverse, that you yourself have revealed to us who you are, eternal, unchanging, and who we are, the one human nature that you have given us for all time. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of moral truth that does not change. We thank you for your blessing as we articulate and defend it. Lord, we lift up to you all the intentions that we hold today and all the prayers that we each have in our hearts. Meet all our needs, provide for all the graces for which we ask you. And we summarize our prayers now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, will be forever. Amen. Thank you, friends. Invite others to watch these programs. Thank you for spreading the word, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Pastoral Associate of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.